Our scripture reading this morning is from Daniel chapter 2. Let us read together from verse 1. Daniel chapter 2. Let us listen to God's word. Now, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. And then the king gave orders to call in the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to understand the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell the dream to your servants, and we will declare the interpretation. The king replied to the Chaldeans, The command from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb, and your homes will be made a rubbish heap. But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you will receive from me gifts and a reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, Let the king tell the dream to his servants, and we will declare the interpretation. The king replied, I know for certain that you are bargaining for time, inasmuch as you have seen that the command from me is firm. That if you do not make the dream known to me, there is only one decree for you, for you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, There is not a man on earth who could declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult, and there is no one else who could declare it to the king except gods whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. Because of this, the king became indignant and very furious and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them too. Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, the king's commander, for what reason is this decree from the king so urgent? Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends Hananiah, Mikael, and Azariah about the matter so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went into Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him as follows, Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king. Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows. I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered before the king and said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar that will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turned to what would take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me, for any wisdom residing in me more than in any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. You, O king, were looking, and behold, there was a single great statue. That statue, which was large and of extraordinary splendor, was standing in front of you, and its appearance was awesome. The head of that statue was made of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed him. And then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. For the reading of God's word. Look at this chapter from the perspective of verse 28. However, there is a God in heavens who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. Now, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have reached the end of another year. I don't know about you, but it's sometimes hard to believe that the year can pass so quickly. We celebrated the birth of our Savior and we received gifts. We celebrated the old year and celebrated into the new year, and we are already 3 years into a new year. And as you will agree with me, that soon we will hear the Christmas music in the stores again, right? I hope you have taken time to think about this past year. I have heard many people say, and I've heard many jokes made implicating that 2020 was a horrible year, and that 2021 could only be better. You've probably heard people saying that. Probably you have said that yourself. But I hope you have also taken time to think about the things that this statement entails. Because I wondered about this statement. Yes, we don't want a repeat of this past year. That's true. But things could have been worse in many, many different ways. And let us not forget that. We still have so much to be thankful for. And I hope you have counted your blessings at the end of this year. Let us also not forget that God still uses all these earthly trials that He brings upon us and all the afflictions for His own glory and for our best. How can we call that a horrible year then, if God has other intentions for us? Like gold is refined by fire, so He purifies the faith of His children, that we will become more Christ-like. That being said, it was a challenging year. Worldwide, many people lost their lives. Even some of us in the church have lost loved ones due to COVID-19. And we have no assurance that it is over yet. And we need discernment as we proceed and continue into the new year. We could only pray and trust God for that. And I hope you will also pray, also for the leadership in that regard. But apart from COVID, there was also other things. We have seen riots and attacks on personal property. We have seen injuries and deaths, of which the Nashville bombing on Christmas 2020 is just one example. We have seen poor political leadership in some states like never before. We have experienced another election year with media domination and deception to make us believe what they want us to believe. We have experienced sadness in our own midst. Many have experienced tough times just on a personal level. Perhaps you doubted if you would still have a job. Perhaps your health was deteriorating. Perhaps you also lost a loved one, or were saddened by the behavior of a loved one or a child. Perhaps your family was challenged in different ways. All these things so easily distort us, so easily cause us even to panic. And the uncertainty about our future can lead to decisions we later regret, especially when we take matters in our own hands. I think therefore it's important that we start a year focusing on what the Word of God teaches us this morning. So let me first focus on the background of this passage. In this history, we read about a concerned king, King Nebuchadnezzar, a man who was daily wondering about his mighty kingdom, Babylon. He was always dreaming about how he could make it bigger and expanding it more and more. He wanted to ensure a great future for himself and for his people. But then the Lord showed this man in a very specific way what was in his future. God showed him that not he, but the living God determines the future. And interesting how God did that. Without extraordinary signs, without a rebellion in his kingdom, the Almighty and Omniscient God brought this man and his kingdom to a stop by means of a dream. What at first was rock-solid certainty for this man, something that he boasted upon, his own power and the power of his kingdom, crumbled for this man through one simple dream. Yes, this dream predicted the disaster. And when he got this dream, had this dream, he knew it could not be good news when he saw that stone that came down and crushed the great statue, which was made of fine gold, silver, bronze, iron, and clay. Once this great statue, in the next moment, it was in pieces. And it says, like chaff, which the wind blows away, that not a trace of it could be found. A kingdom that just disappeared in the wind. And suddenly this man was sleepless, anxious. This powerful man, in one moment, he changed, filled with anxiety about his future. And the reason that stone became a great mountain filled the whole earth. That stone that came and crushed the statue. And suddenly a crisis unfolds for the king and for those around him. Clearly, when God intervenes, he turns everything upside down. So the crisis in this situation, we see naturally the king wanted to know what the meaning of the dream was. And immediately he called all the people that usually helped him, the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, to tell him what the meaning of the dream was. And so that they might not deceive him, he made it a little bit more difficult to him. He says, you not only tell me what the meaning of the dream was, I want you to also tell me what the dream is. And then you tell me what the meaning of the dream was. And then I want to know what the influence on my future will be. And if they were not able to do that, they will be chopped into pieces. Now you see, there's a problem here. The unbeliever king seeks help from people who are nothing but fellow godless men. And at the end, it doesn't help him at all. If we reverse the truth of Psalm 1, it clearly states, cursed is the man who walks in the counsel of the wicked, stands in the way of sinners, and sits in the seat of scoffers. So here we see that the so-called wisdom of his godless conjurers and advisors is nothing else than foolishness. The reaction of the king's conjurers was, what you ask is too difficult. It's impossible. There's not one man on this earth that is able to do what you're asking. Remember, you will always be completely at a loss when you seek your help from godless men. And unfortunately, that is what so many rely on these days. And we're guilty of that ourselves. How often do we try to find our comfort in the advice godly people give us? Godless people give us. So often we look up to them for counsel. How often do we as Christians trust in the political promises our leaders give, or the relational guidance worldly counselors give, or in the financial advice they offer? Not that we cannot learn from those disciplines. But still, the question is, who do we trust? Instead of using God's advice, we follow the advice so often of the world, and then we are surprised when our problems become just more and more. So I hope you are not relying and put all your trust in your financial advisors and politicians. That you think they have the answers to solve the problems that you have, or the problems of this country, or the problems of the world. Yeah, they might have plans, but you can also ask, who are their advisors? So often those leaders, advisors, are also not Christians. Proverbs 19:20-21 says, listen to the advice and accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. Everyone who puts his trust in man instead of in God will be embarrassed. Nebuchadnezzar did not know this. He was dependent on this advice, and he didn't bring him anywhere. So he asked all these men to come and help him. He was at the end. He didn't know what to do. And in his fear and embarrassment, he decided that everyone, when they said no one can do this, that they need to die. And that included Daniel and his friends. How many times do believers suffer under the injustice caused by unbelievers? That happens. It happens with us today. Daniel and his friends have not asked for this. But death suddenly came knocking on their doors. Suddenly not only the future of the king and his kingdom were in the balance, but also the future of these children of God. But that brings us to the solution. Listen to what these children of the Lord did. Because sometimes we read over this just as he did not even stand there. Daniel acted actually very swiftly. When the king's men came to kill them, he asked why is this matter so urgent to the king? But look how he did it. He was not arrogant. He acted with prudence. And that enabled him to request time from the king in order to show the interpretation to the king. So what did he do next? He went to his friends and he told them what was going on. And even before they could say anything, what did they do next? They prayed. He told them to pray. And that tells me that this prayer was not the last resort solution for this problem. They did not figure out what are we going to do to get out of this mess and then decide, okay, nothing else, let's pray now. No. They did not start protesting and send someone to the king to let him know how unfair this was and to claim their innocence and say they don't have anything to do with the situation. They did not despair or were not in sackcloth and ashes. They did not make all kinds of plans to escape. No, the first thing they did was to pray. And after Daniel explained the situation, that's what they united in. Without debate, without a question even, they just sought mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. They went on their knees and prayed to the living God. Believers in crisis, united in prayer. Well, that is great friends to have, right? Just wonderful. United in their faith and conviction that it was only God who could save them amidst of this situation. They knew He was the only one that could give them the answer to rightly interpret this dream. They laid their lives in God's hands. They understood that there is no man-made solution. There is no man-made possibility of escape. They prayed. Contrary to the death threat of an unbelieving king, the sounds of their prayer rose up in a lovely fragrance to the throne of the living God. Yes, the power of prayer echoed in contrast to the empty sounds of the human conjurers and sorcerers that had no answer. There is a God in heaven that could give the answers, that hear our prayers. Is that what you and I do, beloved, when we are in trouble? When we experience crisis? How often do we try to solve our own problems first, and then, as a last resort solution, we turn to the Lord in prayer? Not only when we struggle with personal issues, but also when we are in trouble politically like Daniel was. Oh, we talk and we tweet and we Facebook and we clench our fists and we protest. I have read some posts on Facebook. Some use it as a billboard for their own agendas for the church. Some decry the injustice in the world and they get like 30, 40, 60 likes. And they feel good about themselves, but what do they do about it themselves? Many spend hours talking and venting. But do we go to our God? Do we as a church really still pray? Are we a praying church? Our God, who is the only one true living God, who is the Almighty, who is completely in control of this universe, our God who sees our needs and anxiety, and is the only one who can do something about it, the God who answers our prayers, He's also the one who wants to hear us pray. Have you ever thought about it, what it means when you do not go to Him? If we don't, it means we don't trust Him. If we don't, it means we don't believe that He is in control. Then we don't believe that He could change the future of my family, my children, a nation. And listen then what follows in the passage. God answers from heaven. We read in verse 19, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Yes, God answered. While the human conjurer stood embarrassed, suddenly the impossible becomes possible. The most hopeless situation changes in an opportunity full of hope made possible by our powerful God. And yes, what we see in this history is nothing less than the victory over the wisdom of this world. God conquers as the answer of the prayers of His children in need. And therefore Daniel cried out in verse 20-21, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever. For wisdom and power belongs to Him. It is He who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is He who reveals the profound and hidden things. So let us realize this again today. We cannot prescribe to God how He is supposed to do His work. It took a dream and a mighty kingdom tumbled down. But know this, God is in control. God is directly involved in the history of this world. God is directly involved in the lives of His children, you and me, every day. He has been in 2020 and He will be in 2021. And therefore Daniel could stand in front of the king and profess, there is a God in heaven, a hearer of prayers. Not the wisdom of earthly wise men gave the answers. No, God in heaven, the all-wise. Again I ask, has the church forgotten this truth about God? Especially in uncertain times. Because life has changed so much in many ways. The values of yesterday are not important anymore today. The Word of God is attacked, and our confessions are questioned, even by friends and family and people of the church. As a matter of fact, it seems like more and more heresy raises up from inside the church. The church keeps itself busy with all kinds of practices, but forsakes the truth. How can that be? It should not surprise us. The Apostle John warned us in 1 John 2:18, children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. As we also in the times that we are living in should pray for God's discernment, that we know what is right and what is wrong. And in this always changing society, we must continue to live. We have to work out a future for ourselves and for our children. We have to make our choices. And yet there is so much we still don't know. Things we cannot predict or foresee. Things which fill us with uncertainty. And to stop the uncertainty, what do? We often make more plans, or just work harder and longer hours, all in order to secure our future. We look at the world markets and their financial performances. We desperately look at the stock exchange. We listen to the media for the truth. And we stress and we wonder. And sometimes in our efforts to ensure our own future, we ignore the more important things in life. We'll rather watch the news till late instead of going to bed with Bible reading and prayer. And often in very similar practical ways, we abandon God for the reality checks around us. It influences our devotion, our worship, our fellowship and prayer. We first want to figure out things for ourselves, and then if we see we are really at the end of our own resources, then we go to God. Because God wants His children to give everything to Him. I love Psalm 46, where we read this beautiful words, "Cease striving," or "be still and know that I am God." But you cannot be still if you are still talking or planning or running or trying to solve your own problems and planning your own future with God not in the picture. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And do we know how highly exalted? So exalted that He was born in a manger. So exalted that He humiliated Himself by taking the form of a bondservant and suffer and humble Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also God highly exalted Him, verse 9 of Philippians chapter 2, and bestowed on Him the name which is above every name. So exalted that He is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Rock. He is the rock in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and the statue represented the kingdoms of the whole world. He is the rock who demolished the great statue. Before Him, the kingdoms of the earth will tumble. He is the stone which has been rejected by men, but at the end became the choice stone, the cornerstone. It is His kingdom that eventually will fill this whole earth. He is the salvation of the church. He removes, as Daniel said, kings and established kings. He let mighty nations stagger. His might fills the whole earth. Jesus Christ Himself once said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That is the comfort of the church. That is our comfort as we enter 2021. And I hope that is still your comfort. I hope this is still your hope. God keeps the future in His hands. He is the hearer of our prayers. Let us not worry. Let us then stop making our own plans and stop trying to make it on our own. Let us rather profess God gives the true wisdom to those who ask and beseech it in dependence of Him. Let us therefore faithfully continue to pray, also for our future. Someone once said, "God does not rule this world from the council chambers of this world, but from our inner rooms where we all kneel and pray to Him." Let us therefore stop putting our expectation on what people have to say. Let us remember it every day. There is a God in heaven. He is, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our God, our Father. He rules for the sake of Jesus. He answers our prayers. And God's people say, Amen. Let us continue now to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Remember, as you come to the Lord's Supper, there are three things necessary: that you prepare your own heart, that you know your own sins, and that you know that you cannot be saved from those sins apart from Jesus Christ Himself, but that you will also be thankful for the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. and be thankful to Him for that salvation, living a life in new obedience in the coming weeks. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and after He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." So therefore, take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Then He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this meal that You have given us, so that we who are so often doubting in Your promises, once again are encouraged through Your Spirit and strengthened by Your Spirit. Lord, that in a way very tangible, we are strengthened. That as true as it is that we have seen the bread and wine, have smelled it and tasted it, have touched it, Lord, we are not mistaken. You come and assure us that You have indeed, for the sake of Jesus and His death on a cross, forgiven us all our sins. And Father, I pray that You would continue to draw us closer unto You, and that through Your Holy Spirit You would work in us a new obedience to serve You with gratitude day by day. And Lord, that our eyes will be focused on the return of Jesus, because then we will indeed sit at a table and feast with Him as the host. We're looking forward to that day, and we pray in His name. Amen. Let's do now our special collection for Mercy Ministries.